America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, and this is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out here with you to get things started. I would like to call this a birthday. It's a birthday. You can celebrate your birthday the whole year. I went to another birthday dinner last night.
Oh, wow. For you?
Yeah.
Oh, a little belated.
So a little, you know, just a tad, yeah. Just a little bit.
But, you just went on one.
What?
You just went on a birthday dinner via social media.
I did.
Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
I think I was out of town.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long ago was your birthday?
My birthday was 3 weeks almost ago? A month ago, but that doesn't matter.
I think it was like a month ago. Or was it the 10th?
10th.
Okay. So, yeah.
Are we allowed to ask who took you to birthday dinner? Was it your sister?
Boys.
The boys. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, because I haven't been able to catch up with everybody.
Nice work by them.
You know?
It's about time.
So, got me free Tres Leches cake. And
I'm sorry, who?
Tres Leches.
Come again.
Not we went to Mexican. We went to Super Rica.
I love Super Rica.
Okay.
And it's like a milk like cake. I'm not describing
A milk cake.
It's like fluffy. It's like yellow cake with a lot of condensed milk.
Googling right now.
But they have a good one there.
Okay.
I'm not usually a huge fan of it, but it is. But it is good. So.
Yeah, I do love Super Rica. We take the kids sometimes to the one at Perimeter because there's like a big turf yard out front of it with like cornhole and fire pits and everything. Yeah, just set them free. I'm just like, go bother somebody else, kid.
So just so you guys know, I'll fill you guys in. A Tres Leches cake is a light and airy sponge cake soaked in three types of milk and topped with whipped cream.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds phenomenal. Don't get me wrong.
It is very good.
I believe in everything. Is that a Ford Fry, the Super Rica?
Yeah.
I believe in everything that comes out of that kitchen. So I will just say that.
Not everyone has a good one, but I enjoy the one there.
Okay. So, I'm pulling up images right now. It looks like a pretty simple cake, just tasty, I guess.
Most people are, you know, don't care about birthdays. A lot of people do. So a lot of people go in. I'm choosing to continue the celebration for
You're choosing violence.
And well, it is your 40th, so
I get to celebrate it this weekend with my. I don't have a game this weekend.
You got another birthday celebration?
Yeah. I don't know my schedule. You guys know I don't really check emails and stuff, and so I didn't really realize that I was going to be off again this weekend. So I got two bye weeks in this season.
Well, nice.
Is, you know,
good for you. I'm glad that did. Now, did Roman get any of your leftovers last night when you got home?
No, absolutely no.
Okay, he didn't do leftovers.
When I did steak, he got a piece of his steak that cost more than he did because he's from a shelter. So
fair enough, man. Fair enough.
But no cake. No cake.
Well, I don't think you need to shame him. I mean,
I didn't. I just looked at him and said, "This cost."
So
almost
you
the same as you
did shame him.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like he actually comprehends.
Yeah, he's like, what? What?
How so you had cost? Cake.
You paid
Dylan
money for me.
Dylan might have gotten kicked out of his house last night.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. So Simone, she sent me a picture of the current NFC playoff picture, and right now, if the playoffs started today, the Falcons would be the 3 seed, and they would be playing the 6 seeded Philadelphia Eagles. And she texted me, and she said, if this happens, we might actually break up.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, tell her she doesn't want the smoke.
Oh, wow. You know
what I mean? And I was like, you're very dramatic. It wouldn't be that bad, but I will say
this. Actually, it would be for you because I kind of talked about this coming out of the studio yesterday because you guys can't exist on your own.
Oh.
You would crumble.
Wait. Hold. What do you mean I would crumble, Tiffany?
Whoa, the violence has been chosen.
It's kind of for all of you. It's kind of shared.
Nah, I
don't know how to feel right now.
I think it may be shared for two of the people.
I respect that. I really do.
But me and Day-Day are stand-alone, right? We can stand our own two feet if we need to.
I am very confident in saying that, Tiff, You're completely correct.
I would absolutely, there ain't no doubt about that. I have seen it.
My walls would collapse. I agree with you.
Mike and Dylan are very weak like that.
you would be in puddles.
My walls would collapse, man. There is no doubt about it.
But yeah, I will say this just to put a bow on it. Simone is a very, very toxic Eagles fan.
She
called herself. I'm not breaking any news.
Yeah, Dylan,
she has said
Dylan,
this.
I'm going to give you the hardest thing in a relationship that it is for a man to learn.
Yeah.
It's okay for them to call themselves something, but you sure as hell can't do it, son.
Nah.
So I hope you hit the dump button.
No, I'm not. I'm standing on that. She knows she's a toxic Eagles fan. She's called herself that. I've called her that to her face. She's a very toxic Eagles fan.
Get your boy.
Nah.
He needs you to save him now because –
My wife was doing the thing last night where she gets all quiet and kind of takes a couple loud breaths, and I was like, oh, man, she's mad.
Oh, you're in for it.
Then. Yeah, and then I was finally like, hey, I don't know what it is, but you know what? It's nice weather outside. You know, I want to hang out with the kids. Can we go ahead and get this off your plate, whatever it is? And she let me know that she was just expecting something to happen that didn't happen, and she was a little bit upset about it. And I said, okay, good. I'm sorry. Let's move on. And it wasn't a wise choice of words. So
Probably never is.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm sorry.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, the NFL trade deadline has come and gone with some significant moves. One that will have some impact on the game this weekend when it comes to the Saints. Marshawn Lattimore traded to the Commanders. The Saints will receive a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick, which is New Orleans' own pick coming back to them. Washington will get Lattimore and a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, it's funny. They made a trade earlier in the season for John Ridgeway. Is that pick, Tiff, that you mentioned coming back to them? There's two ways to look at this. Yes, the Saints got worse slightly because I think Marshawn Lattimore, whether you like him or not, is a very good player.
He's a very good player, yeah.
But also they got better in the for the future because Mickey Loomis has done a pretty good job throughout his time there of drafting. And the problem for me is you don't get away from Marshawn Lattimore because you're going to see him twice. And I actually think the first thing I thought about is that this guy is the type of player to me that could play well in a Dan Quinn system because he can be physical.
Thrive, yeah.
Such a good point.
If you get a pass rush, you can put him on that cover three island, and he can lock up a side and be physical with guys. And he's a handsy player. You know, that's one of the things that I always credited Dennis Allen. You know, I poke fun at the head coach he was, but I always thought he was a good DC. And he liked to have his DBs be physical, be really grabby at the top of routes. And I believe that they should have thrown more flags at times against the Saints.
Sure,
but. If they let you do it all day.
Well, and you and I actually had this conversation. I'm glad you brought this up because you and I had this conversation about Mike Evans, right? Remember when you and I were talking about Mike Evans, his career numbers against Atlanta, and yet when he goes to New Orleans, they're not there. They're not even close to being the same level, and that's a team he's played just as much as he has the Atlanta Falcons, yet his numbers are only like a third of what they
are. I think he's only got like four touchdowns against them.
And I think that when you go back and look at the career of Marshawn Lattimore and some of the other DBs they've had there, and I think Tyrann Mathieu lately and some of the other players they've had playing back in that secondary over Mike Evans' tenure, that physicality is exactly what you're talking about, right? I mean, that physicality with a big body guy like Mike Evans is exactly what you mean. So, to your point, it is unfortunate that you will see him in Washington down the road here in just a few weeks. But at the same time, and I've mentioned it Monday and Tuesday and even Sunday postgame, I am very worried about this game this weekend. I don't, even though they're reeling right now down in New Orleans, I don't feel like it's a great matchup for the Atlanta Falcons, even though on paper, when you look at records, it should be. So I'm glad that at least in the meantime, New Orleans gets kind of taken down a notch and we can see it from that vantage point right now.
We'll come back to how that trade is going to impact this matchup, but Other moves that were made yesterday, Za'Darius Smith, we know, traded to the Lions from the Browns. Khalil Herbert traded to the Bengals from the Bears. The Bears sent a 2025 seventh-round draft pick to the Bears for him. And then Jonathan Mingo traded to the Cowboys from the Panthers. The Dallas Cowboys acquired the receiver and a 2025 seventh-round draft pick in exchange for a 2025 fourth-round pick. Jerry Jones was talking about how they were possibly going to be making some moves and trying to get a receiver there ahead of this happening.
There's a lot of different reasons you could probably look at this, but guys, I just think that this points to the fact that they're kind of hitting a salary reset this year, and you need cheap playmakers over the next couple of seasons if you're going to be able to do that. He kind of fits that role, and look, if you're willing to let him go. Like, when I first saw this, and I texted you, I go, this is a weird trade, man, but I honestly don't know what to think because I don't really know what Jonathan Mingo is at this point.
Yeah, he's a guy that's fallen out of favor quickly in Carolina in, what, 2 years, I think?
Year and some change, yeah.
And, you know, somebody that apparently the Cowboys like coming out. I do think it means, you know, it does go to that reset thing. Look, they're putting Dak on the IR, so that's not good for the hamstring. It's just a lot. There's, you know, Dallas is in a rough space, and I wonder how that's going to go for them. But the Herbert trade, it looks like Zach Moss is done for the season.
Yeah, that's detrimental to our fantasy team. Very detrimental. So, but big prayers up for him for his neck injury because that's always a tough thing as well.
It's you know, the Preston Smith going from the Steelers. He's had some good years. I don't necessarily think he's the same player, but he goes to a team that already has maybe the best pass rusher in the league right now, and another good one in Alex Highsmith. So,
yeah, with that Smith trade, the Packers got a 2025 seventh-round pick. Other moves, Tre'Davious White, to the Ravens from the Rams, and then Khalil Davis traded to the 49ers from the Texans, though.
Yeah, I know we're going to get to it when in the next segment when we talk about this Falcons, but there wasn't an elite player to me traded yesterday, and the closest one was Marshawn Lattimore, and he wasn't in a need position for the Falcons, and the Saints weren't going to trade with you anyways.
Well, let's see how this trade could impact the game on Sunday. Are you changing your game plan for your offense with Marshawn Lattimore now? Not with the Saints. We'll discuss next when we come back on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The game. Back here on the morning shift, and the trade deadline for the NFL has already passed us with a significant move that could have some impact on the Falcons and Saints game this weekend. That's because Marshawn Lattimore is on the move, traded to the Commanders. The Saints will receive a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick, which, as Bo explained earlier, is their own pick coming back to them. So Washington will get Lattimore and a fifth-round pick. But if you're the Falcons and you have one of the top playmakers for the Saints on the defensive side of the ball now, not facing him this weekend, but you'll get him in a few weeks when you get Washington. Are you changing your game plan when you go into the game this weekend?
Well, Tiff, you know me, and you know what I am to my core, and I'm going to tell you that the run game is above all. You know what I mean?
So like, that doesn't,
got to win in the trenches. No, I think that there's – I don't think you change your game plan, but I think it's definitely something you keep in your back pocket if you're Kirk Cousins, right?
You know that he's not out
right.
there.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think if you line up in some of these specific situations and you're looking at matchup base, and let's say you're facing a 3rd and 7 and you have, you know, we need, you know, health updates on Drake London, you know, obviously, but you're looking at a matchup like that and, you know, wondering what you're getting, and you find quarterbacks find different reasons for matchups, right? They find youth, they find cushion, they find length sometimes, you know, speed, you know, like a slot guy on a safety, whatever it is. I just think that's something Kirk will have in the back of his pocket. I don't think that it's something that Zach Robinson is going to go in and say, well, this kid's playing here, but it's just something you're alert for, game plan wise, in specific situations. And so I don't think you come out and target whoever's playing for Marshawn Lattimore, but I think in the end of the day, when you go look at a guy like a Drake London or Darnell Mooney and say, hey, I feel a lot better right now than I probably would have had Marshawn been on the field. So I think it's definitely a direction you kind of look, but I don't know that it'll be part of the quote-unquote game plan.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Bo. I know you've got your depth chart out, not to put you on the spot, but who do they turn to now for the Saints? And is it possible that, yeah, if you're Kirk Cousins, you can kind of go at a guy? You know, if you have maybe Drake London's going to be playing, we don't know. Kadarius Hodge stepping up, who knows?
Oh, I think it's a good question. And Lattimore was inactive last week, but so was the guy that I would think is a natural progression to step up would be Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah.
And he was inactive last week. So they both had hamstrings. That doesn't mean I didn't think that Marshawn was going to play this week. And it doesn't mean that I don't think Kool-Aid McKinstry won't play. But will they? That's the guy I would think. But they also have Trey Herndon, and they have Shamar Charles that guy could step in. I don't think they're going to want to, like, Rico Payton, who's a – what?
I saw you see Shamar John Charles' name, and I was like, man, how's Bo going to navigate this? Good luck. he just went right past. He goes, nah, I'm not even going to try. That's funny, man. Good
that's
stuff.
What's up?
No. You're
how he treats me?
No, well, I tried not to do it.
You know,
man. I kept my microphone.
You know what
off.
He did to me earlier this morning?
No,
well,
we
had to go downstairs to get water around here these days, and I'm trying to walk through that door right there, and he squeezed me in it.
He tried to go through the door frame at the same time.
He kept slowing down, speeding up. I was like, nah, you're going
to
get this thing.
So we went through it like. Tried to go through it together, and I just boom, boom. I bounced off of it. I bounced off of him and the door. I might have an injury.
Workers' comp.
But I think it's yeah.
Call Morgan and Morgan.
Don't turn me in HR.
I'm gonna call Morgan. It's the thing is I think it's a good question. No, I don't think it changes your game plan. I think how they play you maybe changes, because if I am the Saints and I love my guy Darnell Mooney, but I kind of like Marshawn Lattimore in that role if he's healthy to go against, if Drake's out on the field to go against Darnell, because he's a little bit of a bigger dude. And the thing I'm like, it's like I got 6 foot, almost 200 against 5'11", 180.
Yeah.
I'm going to come up and jam him or put hands on him at the line of scrimmage and throw off his route, throw off his timing. That's what I'm going to do. If I'm them, now I think you got to be a little bit more careful with that, because you have lesser players, and even if it's Kool-Aid McKinstry, a less experienced player. Look, he played at Alabama, and he was a good player. This is the NFL, dog. That don't fly.
Oh,
Darnell
yeah,
Mooney don't, that Darnell
please,
Mooney don't fly.
Please, that, please save that,
he dog. Did. He did.
It's the
he
NFL,
did. He went
dog.
There.
This ain't Alabama.
Yeah.
All right, you ain't going against Mississippi State receivers.
Listen, Lord knows I know better than most, man. It's different, and I think you're spot on. Now, Kool-Aid did have to come in the game. There was, I don't remember who the injury was the first time we played them. There was an injury, and Kool-Aid had to check in and be a part of their defensive rotation last time, and he's become more and more part of that. And let's be clear, there is a reason they felt comfortable making this trade, because they feel comfortable with the depth behind a Marshawn Lattimore to say, hey, we're not going to, you know, it's not going to be a sinking ship.
Figured it's because they're 2-7.
Well, there's something to that, but you're not going to – if you don't have anything back behind a Marshawn Lattimore, you're not just going to go ahead and get torched for 500 passing yards every week by putting somebody on the field that's not ready. And also, I think you want to give Kool-Aid those reps, right, to be able to grow into that role. And he is a young guy, and the way you're able to be better on the field is to get those reps against a team like Atlanta.
Season's lost, so they can go ahead and give a guy – not disparaging him in any way.
They definitely feel that way, don't they?
Yeah.
And they're obviously missing Paulson Adebo. who I think is out for the season. I might be wrong. I think he's on the IR, but I'm not sure if it's. I don't know. Is it the season ending? I know it was on the IR. And you know, with the IR, you never know these days. But I think it's a good point. Alante Taylor is still a young player, and he's played good at times. But I think the Coley McKenzie thing is a good point. You know, I do want to address before we get out, Tiff, the Falcons' lack of moves. And I know it's been a big talking point on the socials and through some of the shows late yesterday. I don't think that the Falcons didn't try. In fact, you'll never 100% hear, but I remember a few years ago, and you probably heard these. I think you were still on the NFL with the NFL Network covering a beat then, but I think it was like 18 or 19, and I think it was 19. No, it was 18. I'm pretty sure it was 18. And Vic Beasley was a name that was out there that he might be traded. He wasn't. But they tried, and they weren't going to get anything. I think this is one of those things where teams knew there were a lot of people wanting something. Max Crosby wasn't getting traded. And Myles Garrett wasn't getting traded, okay? It just wasn't happening. And if it did happen...
To give up the house.
Yeah, and I think more than just picks. I think you might have had to give up a player.
Firstborn child.
Yeah.
Well, and I wasn't.
The heir to the throne.
And I wasn't giving up baby Squidette for Myles Garrett or Max Crosby. Yeah. But the truth is I don't think they didn't try. Would you really have wanted them to give up a second round pick or multiple picks for a guy who probably isn't better than anything you have in house just to say, well, you did something?
Right. I think there's a lot to be said for that. And stay with me real quick, because you and I were talking about it this morning. How many picks do you actually have in next year's draft to give up? Is it four? Because you're pretty light. People forget, and you and I talked about this morning, people forget they traded a pick for Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
Right? And so you go all the way, you go to Matthew Judon, you go to the tampering for Kirk Cousins, and you talk about the Van Jefferson pick, and all of a sudden you're light three picks on next year. When you already traded for an edge guy for a third rounder in Matthew Judon before the year, you're just not getting the output out of Matthew Judon. So how many times do you go back to the well and offer up something like that? You cannot. And Zeno and I went back and forth on Twitter about this. He's like, nothing's guaranteed for next year. And my response was, yes. What you are guaranteed is if you don't draft and develop players, that you will suck eventually, right? So you can't just keep mortgaging in the future.
Yeah, nothing screams, I've never been there before, like making a desperation move like that. And I mean, is that would be a that would be Terry Fontenot saying, I've never experienced something like this. We're losing our mind. You went out and spent money this year for the first time in how long?
Right.
Because you actually had money for the first time in how long? You're going to have less money next year. That's just a fact. So you're going to need to build in certain positions, depth, or just a starter. We know we got Braylon Trice coming back next year. You're going to have Arnold Ebiketie coming back most likely next year. Matthew Judon won't be here unless he suddenly goes off and you decide to keep him. So you're going to need to go get someone that can rush the passer along with Braylon Trice and Arnold Ebiketie next year, or at least strengthen the defensive line. You have a first-round pick. You have a second-round pick. You got rid of your third. You have a fourth. You gave up a fifth for tampering. I think there's a compensatory fifth coming, but you don't have a sixth. And I think you have a conditional seventh, maybe. So you might not have that, depending on what happens. You do have a seventh from the Rams, but you don't. Mm. You gave up one of the Eagles from last year. So you're already short picks,
the Kentavious Street deal.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and so you have to be careful. You have to be careful with what you do, and I think they were. But if there had been a guy that they thought put them over the top or was better than it was in-house, they'd have done it.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back, it is out, the first ever 12-team college football playoff rankings. How does it stack up? That's on the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The first ever 12-team college football playoff rankings dropped last night, and I'll run through them for you. You got Oregon at 1, 2 Ohio State, 3 Georgia, 4 Miami, 5 Texas, 6 Penn State, 7 Tennessee, 8 Indiana, 9 BYU, 10 Notre Dame, 11 Alabama, and 12 Boise State. Because you have to say Boise.
Boise.
And they will get very upset with you out there. Boise.
Dirt Cutter was one of those.
I'll let you know.
We had our end of the game play was always the Boise hook and ladder. And every Thursday, or, you know, what is it? No, Friday, you would practice that play, right? In case that you can't throw a Hail Mary long enough, so you do the Boise. And every single week, Dirk Cutter would say, it's Boise. It's Boise. You don't say Boise. It's Boise. Every freaking
week. Let me tell you,
he's
a ray of sunshine in meetings, in production meetings. Just a beaming bright light.
Yeah.
Hey,
one of my favorite
human beings. I like Dirk now.
He's the reason I scored a touchdown. I don't know why he liked me, but he was like, I got you, bro. I got you. Get out on that route. Put your
hands
on his thing.
He loves production meetings,
let
me tell you.
The craziest connection in the world is that Dave Archer's high school wide receiver and best friend was Dirk Cutter's wide receiver in college.
Mm.
And I think college roommate.
Good buddies.
Sure. Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So a shout out to Griff. He's not listening because he lives in California. So.
Well, yeah. Do you agree with how this shakes out? Oregon's still undefeated. One of the undefeated teams in this list, but of course they're at one.
It's weird little bit that I thought Georgia might be ahead of Ohio State. Not that it matters, but I thought they might be ahead. Because ultimately, Tiff, if Oregon goes undefeated, Ohio State might not make it, or if they do, they'll be an at-large. Well, let me rephrase it. I think they'll be an at-large because Michigan, I think, is the next game. That Ohio State has Indiana, don't they? I think they play.
They will have Indiana. Yeah.
Yes, they will have them.
And so, but if Ohio State, loses in the Big Ten championship game, I think that they're in the college football playoff based on the initial ranking. And if they don't, that's the only other game they lose.
Yeah, for sure.
But they're telling you that they value the SEC and the Big Ten a lot because the only team in the top eight, not one of those teams, is Miami. At what, four? And I think that's only because Miami's undefeated. So they're not. It's Oregon, Ohio State.
Well, you got BYU in there.
I said eight.
Oh, all right. I'm looking at different rankings than you.
I'm looking at the college football playoff rankings.
Okay. All right. I'm in the wrong one, I guess.
So you have Notre Dame at 10. Am I reading the right thing?
Yeah, I'm looking at what Dylan pasted on the sheet. I don't know why this one's different. But
you confused me now. I was scared. I was like, oh, crap.
I don't know why this one's different. I'm looking at something different than you. That's BYU a little higher.
So they don't value the Big 12. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
To your point, I think that when you look at the way the Big 12 is valued, and you look at what a team like Boise is, Boise's got a lot of stuff in front of them, right? You start looking at the non-power four teams, and you look at teams like Army and Boise, and Tiff, I know you saw Boise a couple of weeks ago. Their only loss is that early season game to Oregon. Right, and now all of a sudden they look like they could be plugged into a higher seed than a lot of people imagine. And I'll be honest, and I know you love when I am.
I wish you would be.
I don't know that anybody wants to smoke from Boise in round one.
I don't think that's
not a good matchup.
No, it's not a good matchup.
No, thank you.
I mean, we had a pretty much a one-armed Ashton Gentry because he fell awkwardly on his left arm in our game. And was wrapped up like a mummy that particular arm was, and still was able to chip away and get some of the ground game going, which, by the way, UNLV did a really good job at the beginning of the game of keeping them from racking up the rushing yards because that's what they do. But over time, they wore them down, and he was still able to.
How impressive is he? Mm-hmm. I don't want to get off track, but how impressive is he?
Yeah, I was wondering the same
thing. He's pretty impressive.
He's a Jesse.
Yeah, he's of shorter stature, as we all know, but I mean, dude is jacked, and the feet, like, he's just so quick and elusive, and it's the, as we love this term now, contact balance. Luke Kuechly gave me that a few years ago, and now I feel like it's like everywhere, contact balance. But his ability to shed tackles is next level, and we saw him do quite a bit of that in our game.
Here's one for you. SMU at 13. You talk about – we talked about the Big 12 not being respected maybe in this ranking. Feels like the ACC's not either because – and I know, take a second and remember, and I'm talking to all of us, not you, Tiff, or Mike, But yes, SMU is an ACC team.
Oh, yeah.
And they just knocked off an undefeated Pittsburgh team.
Yeah.
And I was talking, because I know West, they kind of dropped the hammer on Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they did. It was a statement.
And so the ACC, as it stands now, they're going to get one. If Miami loses, I'm curious if they get in. I know that they're at four, so it seems like they like them enough to say, even if they have a loss, but then you can start playing a numbers game.
Yeah.
And how much do you respect the SEC and Big Ten over conferences like the Big 12 and the ACC?
I'll say this much, too. You got Bama at 11. I've been asked a lot about this over the last couple of days. They have a monumental matchup with LSU this weekend, not in terms so much of like the national landscape. It's not even a top 10 game. But I think what Jalen Milroe is, because Bama's schedule after this weekend reads this. You got Mercer, you got Oklahoma, and you got Auburn, right? And then you probably aren't going to play an SEC title game. So Jalen Milroe's legacy at Alabama probably hinges a lot on what he's able to do Saturday in this top 15 matchup against LSU. And if Bama wants to stay in that 11 seed, of course, they have to go out and win. I think LSU-Bama this weekend is an elimination game. And if LSU can pull it off, they jump right into where Alabama's at right now.
That's what I was actually just going to ask you, because I was looking around at some different articles, but I don't think that we're going to see a three-loss team be able to find their way into the playoffs.
I think you're right.
It doesn't seem that way.
And I think this is what the traditional college football fan has feared, is that these games won't matter because so many teams are getting in. But I think what is happening is because of the conferences doing the realignments. And I hate everything I'm about to tell you of why I think this is too good. But I think conference realignments is keeping teams in it because of the depth of these schedules and the strength of these schedules, right? So Alabama-LSU matters this year, when in years when both had two losses, you'd say, well, it's just kind of that – it's kind of a recruiting game or a rivalry game. But now it actually matters for the national landscape.
Yeah.
Still – at 6-2 and 6-2.
I completely agree. And also, when you look back at like 14-16, 14 Texas A&M, 15 LSU, 16 Ole Miss, all three of those teams have games coming up, two of them this weekend, that they can play their way into the top 12 with.
Oh, if Ole Miss beats Georgia this weekend, it is on.
If LSU beats Bama, and then I don't know who Texas A&M has immediately, but they will play Texas before the end of the year, and that would vault them into that role.
They still only have one loss in the SEC.
Exactly.
And I want to go back to Boise State, too, because I was looking at the rest of their schedule. They've got Nevada, San Jose State, Wyoming, and then Oregon State. So I'm not saying it's a winnable, schedule.
Right.
But
it's a winnable schedule.
But then you talk about the strength of schedule with this. I think you were touching on it earlier, Bo. But that seems to have factored into a lot of this, too, even though Indiana, though, is still at eight, despite their schedule.
Yeah, well, and now you look at with them is game control. Indiana has dominated some teams, including Michigan State and Nebraska in recent weeks. But then you look at BYU and Boise and this matchup that could be in a Big 12 face-off.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing to look at here is, and Tiff, you might be able to help me with this, Army and Notre Dame play at some point. How far off are we from that? Do you know off the top of your head?
I'll just try to pull it up real fast.
That's going to be a game where you look at a Notre Dame team at 10, you look at what Army is, and that's a game that could absolutely shake some things up.
December 14th. And the that's what I have here on, Navy.
Excuse me, Boise
Army
will be in at large.
Notre Dame and Army.
So that's a game that could definitely shake some things up as well. And I think that there's just and that's the nature of the
November
beast. These
23rd.
First ones, yeah, it's coming up right. So you're talking about a couple of weeks away. That's a game that is going to be monumental for those two programs in terms of trying to find their way into this whole mess. So a lot of things left to play out. And I just say this to kind of cap off my thoughts. I loved it, man. I loved last night with the 12-team playoff and all the conversations. I thought that this would lead to some of these games down the stretch not meaning as much. I'm like fully bought into this LSU-Bama game. Feels like it means more than ever. Ole Miss and Georgia like all across the landscape.
With the Iowa State loss, and I apologize, I put Boise in the Big 12 for some reason. They're an independent group of five.
Yeah.
But BYU, Iowa State, and Colorado at the top of the Big 12. I mean, we could see Shador Sanders is not out of the college football playoff yet.
Lord, no.
All right?
And they're
Deion is not out.
Bowl game eligible now, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're 6-2, and they're 4-1 in the Big 12.
They're impressive, man.
And Iowa State's loss last weekend kind of opens the door.
When we come back here on the morning shift, the trade deadline has passed. The Falcons did not make a move. What does that mean for this team going forward? That's next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.